Hey, Chummers, welcome back to another episode of Shadow Running on Empty. As usual, I am your host, Easy Mode, the lore connoisseur, bringing you more information about the sixth world that, of course, you are just dying to know of. And I am joined this evening by my intrepid co-host, Austin. Austin, how are you doing tonight?
The lore connoisseur that we adore, who's got more in store than you could possibly anticipate.
Aww. He was so close.
We're doing good, Easy. We're doing good. You had prefaced this by saying, hey, we're going to talk about another shadowy organization tonight, at which point I responded, so we're talking about an organization tonight.
And yes, I just said yes. That's what it's come down to, hasn't it? Hey, we're talking about an organization. They're probably bad. Well, this one is questionably gray.
Ooh, okay. I like a little moral conundrum with my organizations.
It really depends on, are you a fan of the United States?
Aspects, yes.
Or are you more of a, hey, let's just ride out this UCOS thing?
You mean like the OG?
Yeah, like the OG.
I see. Okay.
The 1776 gang.
I gotcha. Those 50 nifty United States, as it were. Okay.
Including those two that are always off to the side on the map. I'm looking at you, Alaska and Hawaii.
Yeah, Alaska and Maine, get your shit together. Wait, is that not what we're talking about?
No.
Oh, my bad.
That's at the top. I mean, they're right there next to Canada. I could see how you get confused every once in a while. No offense to any of our listeners that are in Maine, but...
Yeah, sorry, Stephen King.
True.
He's like the only person that lives there, right? Like, can you name me one other famous person that's attached to Maine? Because literally the only one I could ever think of is Stephen King.
That's the one that comes to my mind as well.
All right, sick.
Glad we're on the same page. Well, this organization has to operate in the shadows, isn't very well known. And actually ends up going by a lot of different names, but can all be tracked back to one particular group. So the name of the game tonight is we'll be talking about the New Revolution. That is the name of the group.
Uh-huh.
Now, they were first uncovered by an unlikely CIA UCOS agent. And this all started with border raids on the UCOS Sioux border in what was originally Nebraska, where arms shipments would be raided and guns and ammo are being taken. And at first, we're dealing with this group that calls itself the Western Liberty Brigade. That's where we start. And as the threads are pulled and unraveled, it grows larger and larger to the point of where the Western Liberty Brigade is just some run-of-the-mill militia group that's living out in the hills that wants to have the United States be like it was in the old days.
I mean, would it be presumptuous of me to say that they're... MO was that they were in fact trying to make America good again in some aspects?
Let's go with make America again.
Make America again. Make America whole again.
Yes, that's probably the best slogan I could think of.
The Mawas.
But the West Liberty Brigade isn't the only extremist group that was receiving covert aid Other terrorist factions designated by the UCAS are spread all over North America, even into the COS and some into the NAN, all the way to California Free State. And they're all receiving this covert aid from this group, the New Revolution. The New Revolution is pursuing a strategy of tension, providing arms and more to a wide range of terrorist groups. And on the surface, it doesn't seem to care what the faction is fighting for. Lots of the groups would be at each other's throats if given the chance, or if they found out that they were even tangentially connected. There's religious fundamentalists, metahuman extremists, neo-fascists, anything as long as the terrorist group is fighting against an established government on the American continent. So as long as you're fighting against Cal Free State, the COS, the NAN, or the UCAS, then the New Revolution is there to help you with your mission.
You just got to sign up and get your badge.
All you got to say is, this is what I'm against. Well, no worries, we'll get you the munitions that you need. So they can be, and the New Revolution is so spread out, but it is technically centralized. They're just very, very covert about it. They're better than the Black Lodge at their covert tactics.
That's fair. That's good to know. I mean, I don't see how they could have been worse, to be honest. I don't think we've met a worse covert organization.
It's so overt, it's covert.
Yeah, exactly. The best place to hide is in plain sight.
Exactly. That's kind of the direction that the New Revolution takes. They are separated into different branches. You have the Reconstitution branch, you have the political branch, and you have the militia branch.
Okay.
So obviously the militia branch is in charge of supporting the extremist, all the terrorists, the poly clubs, cults, militias, any other group that is ready to stir it up with any of the established governments. These groups end up just being pawns for the New Revolution to use in their game. So the New Revolution gives them funding, weapons, pay data, tactical advice, and any other kind of logistical support that they could muster together. In return for all of this, they're expected to just go out and cause problems. Random bombings, terror attacks, bio warfare, anything that escalates a sense of fear and chaos. Any group that does tend to be pro-American sometimes gets a better share of the arms and advisors and are more in the loop, so to speak. Groups with a distinct political agenda are handled more carefully. In these cases, the New Revolution representative pretends to be affiliated with an underworld syndicate or mercenary operation that's simply out to make money. These groups will get weapon deals and will be encouraged to step up their operations. Occasionally, the New Revolution will only offer weapon deals with strings attached, such as targeting particular institutions or increasing the body count. Some groups that make deals with the New Revolution, knowingly or unknowingly, are the Sons of Sauron, Knights of the Red Branch, Native Californians, and Alamos 20K. Those are just the really popular ones. We have talked about a couple of them. We've mentioned the Sons of Sauron before.
Yes. The
pro-meta group that's out to fight against the Humanist Poly Clubs. The Knights of the Red Branch, the original inhabitants of the Emerald Isle, who would love nothing more than to take Tiernan Oak back. Of just native Californians who are there fighting off the other tier from encroaching on their land, and also the Japanese military from kind of taking over. In other cases, for the military branch, the new revolution takes advantage of its intelligence connections to either place or manipulate high-level infiltrations. This would allow the agent to push a group towards a more pro-unification stance. In some cases, the new revolution can control an entire group of dedicated political activists simply by keeping a tight grasp on the group's leadership. Luckily, the militia branch's operations are still small and very spread out. The new revolution is careful in providing aid to these extremist groups, as it doesn't want to alert others outside of their conspiracy.
That's how you keep a secret society secret.
Who knew, right? Who knew? It's probably why they have not approached the Black Lodge. The extremist links are just one side of the militia branch's operations. The New Revolution also has ties on the other side of the law in various law enforcement agencies, mostly in the UCOS and the COS. Law enforcement operatives can funnel arms and ammo to groups easily. Some law enforcement infiltrators also act as spies, getting the inside scoop on raids planned against factions and preventing them from doing any real harm. The militia branch has also wormed its way into some of the corporations. The aim of its corporate infiltration efforts is strictly logistical, getting what the new revolution needs for their troublemakers to go out and cause the chaos. So far, the new revolution has people on the inside of Lone Star and Ares, as well as Novatech, and as technology. So they're worming their way in to a lot of different corporations on a bunch of different levels, but this militia branch can operate pretty freely and evenly with itself in being able to protect specific groups that it wants to cause havoc, funnel arms to them through the legitimate contacts of their corporate insiders, and their law enforcement insiders as well. And if you're inside both Lone Star and Ares, that means that you have all of the law enforcement that will respond in some areas, because that's your Lone Star officers and your Knight Errant. So anytime they hit someplace or are going to do a raid, and it would be a detriment to the new revolution, they've most likely moved everybody out or left some small useless part behind that can be afforded to be found out or taken down. Now, all this sounds very nebulous and spread out, right?
Uh-huh.
So, even though it is, or it seems that way, there is a figure of authority over the military branch that is simply referred to as the general.
Oh.
He is called the general simply because he favors wearing military fatigues.
That's fair, I suppose.
Hey, I mean, when you're the representative that's meeting with some of these extremist groups and you're giving them the military know-how or providing them with arms and munitions and logistics, seems like a pretty safe bet, right?
I suppose so. I mean, is that all it takes to be able to call yourself a general, though? Like, because I've still got an old camo jacket in my closet right now. Like, if I go throw that on, could I just go down to my local VFW and tell them that I'm the third lieutenant and see what they say?
Well, the general does usually have a small entourage that travels around with him. He was first spotted at this Nebraska branch for this one troublemaker outfit, the WLB, the Western Liberty Brigade. He's first noticed there.
Okay.
He has later been spotted in the South, particularly around the Atlanta area. And it's theorized that he could actually be a member of the Koss Army.
Ah, I see.
No one knows for sure, but he has been seen in the vicinity of Fort McPherson, which is in Atlanta. So that means that they could potentially have Koss backing through the army attachés that are there.
Or at least through some of the members of the Koss military.
Mm-hmm. There is a theory in the shadows that the individual known as the general could actually be one Colonel Paul Jeffers, the senior foreign area officer for the UCOS embassy in Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
Prior to his diplomatic posting, Jeffers worked in special ops, and he's pretty critical of both the UCOS and the COS governments. Word on the street is that Jeffers was exiled to Atlanta 3 years ago because the brass didn't want him at the Pentagon. So this could be a reason why he's working with the New Revolution, maybe feeling ostracized.
Sometimes, you know, you gotta just do it yourself.
That's true. One of the other candidates for the general is Major General Andrew Taylor, a native Texan, and has been pretty outspoken for increased Confederate involvement in North American affairs.
I see.
So anybody that speaks loudly about wanting to buck the trends of the current government and the status quo,
mm-hmm,
seem to hit or become targets as possible co-conspirators of the new revolution. I hope the Black Lodge is taking notes. This is how it's done. So that covers the military branch. Very straightforward. They're out there to train and provide aid to these extremist groups, but also worm their way into legitimate sides on both the corp and law enforcement to be able to better support and coordinate. And supposedly this is all run through one figure known as the general, who may or may not be a COS military commander.
Right.
That brings us to the political branch, everybody's favorite.
I do just want to say that I find it funny that all of the two potential leaders of that branch, that both of them are attached to the COS military specifically.
Well, one is in the embassy there.
Mm.
Who technically, I guess he would be UCOS. He's just stationed down in the COS.
Oh, okay, I see.
However, that still puts him near the COS military. So.
Right.
I feel like my statement can still stand.
No, valid. It's valid.
No, fact check me. It's fine. I got it. So, like I said, that brings us to the political branch. And just as the New Revolution's militia branch incites external forces against the various governments of North America, the Revolution's political branch works to undermine them from within. Obviously, as the name implies, the political branch creates political trouble, stirring up incidents and crises that weaken public confidence and sabotage diplomatic relations. If there isn't a scandal, it creates one. If there is one, it makes it worse.
Hooray!
The goal of such smear campaigns is to make a government look so inept, so tyrannical, that its citizens lose confidence in it and support its removal.
Right. If literally anything can be better, why not us?
Right. Feel like you're living under the rule of a king? Well, have I got news for you? The revolution's political branch also maintains infiltrators in all the major political parties and news networks, ready to pour gas on any political fires that happen to erupt. There are plenty of contacts throughout the government and the corps who can kindle fires with when things get too quiet. The media insiders are especially useful when it comes to sowing disinformation about actions by groups linked to the militia branch. Again, one branch helping out the other.
Good old plausible deniability.
And as the military branch seems to come under the command of one person that potentially actually maybe works like a true military, and that you have the general at the top that feeds orders down to his subordinates, the political branch operates a little differently. The political branch is led by a group that has been dubbed the Council. The Council consists of four men and four women.
I appreciate that we've stuck to this naming convention for their group so far of everything just being called the noun.
Right? It makes sense. Again,
It's
Black Lodge, take notes.
But
I know you're out there listening.
if they're not confused from the get-go about what they're dealing with, easy, then you've already lost the war of
Oh,
subterfuge.
God. I have to make it so convoluted, I don't even know what I'm doing.
You can't tell me right now what are the Black Lodge doing.
I can't. That's true.
Exactly. That means they've already won. Or have they? Who knows?
Not even them. That's who
Not
knows.
even them.
Not
Especially
even
not.
them.
Especially not them.
Oh, God. Yeah. Maybe they've already won, but even then, they don't even know. So we're talking about the council,
Right.
the political branch, four men, four women. One member is a Hispanic man. Two members are Native Americans. The group also contains two dwarves and a troll. So they know of six.
Interesting. The metahumans isn't really a surprise in and of itself, but I'm honestly kind of surprised that they have members of the Nan on the council, considering that,
Right? Yeah.
they don't seem to be huge fans.
Yeah, this seems counterproductive to what they have already achieved. Originally, the council met in Denver, but quickly moved after the Dragon Ghostwalker announced his claim of sovereignty over Denver.
Well, I mean, listen. Do not meddle in the affairs of dragons, as they say. So.
Supposedly, they are relocating to Los Angeles, with three of them going there as an advanced party. It is strange to have the two Native Americans on there. But I like this little blurb about that, where it's don't assume that all Native Americans are anti-American or that all Latinos are pro-Aztlan. Not all Native Americans have benefited from the establishment of the Nan. In fact, some have suffered considerably under the oppression of larger tribes. Similarly, a lot of Latin Americans were just getting settled into American society when all of a sudden they found themselves back under Aztlan oppression as Aztlan rolled into Southwest Texas. So that could be why you are seeing these representatives in the council for the political branch.
Fair.
The political branch is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Get there, get into news areas, infiltrate your way into political parties. I mean, it's probably not hard to buy into lobbyists and whatnot, especially in the sixth world. And then getting independent journalism out there. Who doesn't love some good old muckraking, right?
Woo!
Yay! Well, this brings us to our third branch, and that is the Reconstitution branch.
The judiciary. Damn it. I thought I had it.
Ah, oh, you're so close, so close.
Yeah.
Destroying something is easy. Rebuilding is more difficult. The new revolution recognizes that and has set up a reconstitution branch to handle the task of rebuilding America once the revolution topples the continent's current powers.
That's our plan B, baby. That's once it's ready, once everything goes according to plan. Or I guess that would be the plan A then, right?
Yeah,
The
that would
topple.
that's
Yeah.
plan A, topple government, then rebuild. But to go so far to have a branch ready for it,
Hey, listen, you got to move quick, all right?
you got to feel pretty confident about what you're doing.
You create that power vacuum, somebody's going to take it. And if you don't already have your team in place ready to move, you
That's
know,
true. You
who's
got
to
to
say
be
somebody else isn't going to just swoop right in?
That's true. Got to be ready to step in. The Reconstitution branch cultivates contacts in industries and organizations critical for restoring order. National oil and food reserve agencies, power stations, the Federal and Confederated Reserve, the National Guard and other military units, and so on. In other words, this branch is in charge of staging coups d'etats, seizing power, and holding everything together until America can be reunited.
We'll just keep fanning the flame of discourse that's already here until we're ready to blow
Yeah.
it out and build something new.
That's what they're there for.
Jesus.
There's rumors that the new revolution reconstitution branch even has contacts within some North American syndicates. Allegedly, one of the Boston Mafia dons is a member of the new revolution. These contacts provide the revolution with means to maintain control of critical emergency functions and restore order quickly in the event of civil unrest that they have most likely created.
Yeah, that they themselves have instigated. Yes,
Ex
exactly.
exactly, exactly. The Reconstitution branch also identifies key political, business, and military leaders who either sympathize with or oppose the revolution's goals. It recruits and assists those leaders who are sympathetic to the new revolution's cause, and those that aren't seem to disappear. They're either blackmailed, discredited, or permanently eliminated.
If anybody asks, they moved to the UCOS and we never heard from them again.
They decided to try their luck overseas and went to Europe.
They moved to the California Free State. I've heard that they live in a commune now.
They wanted to, you know what? They went to a big farm up north.
Yeah. He's got so much room to run around and play in, and so many friends to keep him company there.
He'll see all his buddies.
He gets all the tummy scratches he wants.
Exactly. And you know, the other two branches, they have their leadership, right? Well, the Reconstitution branch can't be left out, and they have the Unity Coalition.
I already don't like it where this is going, but go on.
Well, we have to worry about words like unity in the sixth world, because sometimes that means bugs, and that's dangerous. So the
Also,
unity.
usually the word coalition is not a positive grouping of people in the sixth world either.
Has not been very popular. That is true.
No, coalition's notoriously kind of a bunch of bastards.
The Well, the Unity Coalition is the force behind the Reconstruction or the Reconstitution branch. Behind the scenes, this power player social club is really planning on becoming the continent's new government. It's hard to pin down. The Unity Coalition seems to coordinate between all three branches of the new revolution, acting as the group's de facto leadership. No one is entirely sure exactly who is calling the shots. Two theories exist as to why this is. The first is that the actual conspirators at the top are very tight-knit and very secure to the point where the rest of the new revolution doesn't know who they are. The second theory is that there's a power struggle going on at the top, with the original conspirators being very collaborative and working together to get things started. But as the new revolution has grown and is picking up steam, they're now infighting about who's going to be top dog when America comes back to being whole.
Hey Chummer, just a quick aside. If you are enjoying the episode, be sure to rate it if on audio, or if you are on YouTube, give us a like and subscribe as we are trying to reach our 1,000 subs goal. You can also support us over on Patreon at patreon.com/critical_hits. Finally, if you are interested in taking your tabletop gaming to the next level, check out the episode description for an affiliate link to DriveThruRPG. So the next time you're looking to expand your library and want to help support us, drop that link in. And now, back to the show.
Even within the usurpers of democracy, they're like, who's gonna be in charge though? Once we get there, I don't know.
There's only so many seats at the table.
Only so many seats. I do also appreciate that, we've got the shadowy figure slash figures in charge of this branch as well, that people are like, I don't know, they're just a voice on an intercom, man. I have no idea who's running this.
Intercom for president,
Yeah.
2080.
Oh my God. So real quick, as an aside, they're back in the like mid 2000s, there was this angle that was being run in WWE that was called the Mysterious General Manager of Raw.
Oh
And
boy.
what it was is that there was a new GM for Raw, but nobody knew who he was. And so he was represented by a laptop that they would set up next to the commentary table on every episode. And throughout the episode, you would just hear like a notification message noise. And then Michael Cole would have to walk over and look at it and then read out the message from the mysterious Raw general manager. And to this day, we have never gotten a conclusion to that storyline. So,
I hope it comes back.
am I saying that the mysterious Raw general manager could also be behind the reunification of the United States of America? I'm saying there's a possibility, easy.
I'm just saying, you've never seen them in the room at the same time.
I've never seen either of these mysterious unknown people in the same place at the same time. That is true.
See,
You've got me there.
concrete proof right there.
Yeah, it's the absence. What is the absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence.
Exactly.
We're just talking about the unknown unknowns here, Easy. The things we don't know, we don't know.
On November 3rd, 2064, the new revolution used the Matrix Crash 2.0 as an opportunity to coordinate a strike against all North American governments. Government buildings were bombed, political and military leaders were captured, protesters were executed, and TRID slash radio stations were forced to censor and play military music.
Well, that's the worst part of all of it.
Troops loyal to their government fought back and gained the support of civilians that were willing to put up a fight, most likely Shadowrunners.
Yeah, that's fair. That checks out. Well, probably also some like Lone Star members and stuff like that, you know, the actual like organized enforcement agencies.
So this will be a name that you possibly remember. Remember Nadja Davyar?
Oh, the name is very familiar, but I'm not drawing the attachment. When did we talk about them previously?
We talked about her because she is linked to the Draco Foundation
Right. Yes.
because of Dunkelzahn.
Yes, 'cause she's the one who takes over after Dunkelzahn dies, air quotes.
Right. And remember, she is technically, well, 50, what was it? She's technically the vice president of the UCAS.
Yes.
Well,
Again, air quotes.
she survives an assassination attempt.
Oh, good.
She then has the Brigadier General make a nationwide speech denouncing the coup attempt and declaring martial law.
I mean, that's fair, you know, if you were just almost assassinated.
That seems like the smart play, right?
Yeah, and especially if it's happening across the entirety of the UCAS, it's probably a good move.
There are links, remember, when we were talking about the military branches and how, or the military branch specifically, and how it like to stir up trouble and attach itself to far-leaning terrorist organizations that were out to cause havoc and chaos, right?
Right.
Well, there was one such group that's known as Alamos 20K, and they're actually a group that we will talk about later, as there's a lot on them. Just for the bare bones, they're a terrorist group that focuses on anti-metahuman agendas.
Don't they always, Easy? Don't they
They
always?
always do.
Boy, don't they?
Well, there's of course rumors and speculation that the New Revolution has ties to Alamos 20K. And so, because of these alleged links, Alamos 20K is held responsible and prosecuted for the actions that the New Revolution undertook during this time.
I
So
see.
the UCAS goes after Alamos 20K because they're still not aware of the New Revolution.
Right. I mean, you know, when you've got a hate group like that, they're pretty good to be the scapegoats for anything that you don't want your shadowy secret organization to be actually tied to. Because then you can just go, yeah, those fucking weirdos did it, man. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, exactly. This was a failed coup attempt, but it did still have a profound impact on the political landscape of both the UCAS and the Sioux Nation.
But not the cost itself. Interesting.
No. They only acted against the UCAS trying to overthrow. So it's like, trying to, if they topple one,
Yeah, the
then it'd be
domino.
like a domino effect and it
Right.
spread. That's
Yep.
what they were hoping for. However, backfired. Crash 2.0 didn't quite work the way they wanted it to. Although you have to think that maybe they survived, or the UCAS survived Crash 2.0 a little bit better because of the reconstitution branch trying to put fail safes in place, being ready for such an eventuality as some kind of, I don't know, big event that causes mass destruction
Right.
and chaos. And so the branch steps in ready with the support structure that they've already been cultivating to make sure that they can mitigate the damage.
I see.
But somebody's got to take the blame, and this is why you partner with these extremist groups, so you can effectively throw them under the bus and keep your shadowy organization a shadowy organization.
Blame it on the racists.
They're really, really great to blame things on.
It's hey, listen, nobody's gonna think twice.
What? The horrible, horrible anti-meta human group is responsible? Let's get them.
Yeah, the this hate group? Yeah, I believe that they're responsible for all of this. Why would they not be?
Yeah, I've put off talking about Alamos 20K because they are probably the worst one that exists in the Six World when we
Oh,
talk
fun.
about them.
Oh, good. That's a high bar. That's a high
It
bar to clear.
is. It is.
Oh.
Especially with their leadership.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Like I said, we'll get there and just buckle in because, oh boy, it's not good. Okay, it's just they are the worst. I'd put them at the worst anti-meta human, so the worst humanist group that exists in the Six World.
Fair.
I mean, you've got to have your bad guys, right?
Hey, everybody loves to have a good bad guy to hate.
Exactly. That is the whole plot behind the whole New Revolution and what it is that they hope to accomplish. They've only had
Okay.
one notable attempt, obviously, that was with the Crash 2.0.
Right.
But who knows if we'll see them again in the future?
Always lurking.
They are always lurking. They're a threat still. The New Revolution still exists all the way into the current timeline of the 2080s. It's just, I don't think anything's been done with them in the meta plot
Yeah.
for a while. So, there's lots of things that can be touched on again that just kind of fall through the cracks. And I feel like this is definitely one of them.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair though, they also do kind of exist as this entity that leads itself to just kind of permanently be in the shadows anyway. So they're always available as a fallback plan for any time that they want to bust it out for story purposes, but I kind of feel like unless they're gonna do something major with them again, like that's probably where they exist best at least at this point. 'Cause having the ever present, shadowy organization is always the more fun route to go because then you're like, well, they could be doing anything at any time,
Exactly.
anywhere.
Yeah. It is also noted here that for the Reconstitution branch, one of the themes for them, if you use them, choose to use them in your Shadowrun games, is their branch is silencing the opposition. Those who oppose the new revolution, or even those who know too much, are a threat and must be dealt with permanently. In this
See,
role,
and
the Reconstitution branch acts as the new revolution's secret police.
I mean, even within that, that's way more interesting because at this point, their entire like MO is just continue to exist, but don't let anybody know that we do until the time is right.
Right, as we build our power base and wait for another event to where we think that we can succeed in a massive coup d'etat.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it works out.
Definitely. The final theme for the Reconstitution branch is internal division. When the new USA is created, someone gets crowned president, and the new revolution has not yet decided who that is.
Well, obviously they'll just vote for it,
You would hope so, but
right?
you would want to have your government set up already to immediately step in. Because it would be too difficult to organize a vote after mass riots and chaos. So you want your political party to step in, already assembled, ready to run the show until you can provide those free elections.
See, that's how they always start it though. And then the guy that they put in place as the placeholder goes, but I'm already here. So what if I just stayed?
Well, that's why you're divided in the reconstitution branch, because you have to find that person that's willing to step into the power vacuum, put everything in order, and then be okay with stepping down. And that's hard to find in the sixth world.
Yep.
One of the final notes for the reconstitution branch is one of the prime contenders for the role of who is going to be the new US president is someone that's referred to as the senator.
Okay.
Unfortunately, the senator may in fact be a key director of Alamos 20K,
Oh,
the human supremacist terrorist organization.
no. Indeed.
Yeah.
Well, that's unfortunate.
So that's something to contend with. And again, we'll cover that when we talk about Alamos 20K.
Right.
Oh boy,
Yeah,
they're a
looking
treat.
forward to that conversation.
I bet. But I mean, what do you think of the new revolution? It's pretty well laid out. Military gets the arms and
Yeah.
supplies and advisors. The political branch works, the news networks and public opinion. And then you have finally the reconstitution
Yeah.
ready to put everything back into place, but also kind of policing itself.
I mean, of all of the secret organizations that we've talked about so far, I feel like this one probably has its stuff together the best, you know? They actually kind of feel like they all have a cohesive plan and are sticking to it, which I feel like we don't get a lot of with our secret organizations in the Sixth World. So you know what? Kudos to them for that.
It's true.
I gotta give them credit on that.
Especially with three different branches, right? Usually you have
Yeah.
one of them plotting against the others.
Hey, listen, have we not proven easy how successful a three branch system can be here? Come on. Come on.
Yeah, trying to bring it back, obviously.
It worked so well once that before the inevitable downfall of all of it, we're just gonna do it again, but we're gonna do it better this time. It'll be okay. Don't worry. This time it's different. Can't tell you how. Just trust that it
We're
is.
not going to put people in concentration camps, which is what they did.
That's a step in the. I don't know, man. If the person who's supposed to be in charge is part of Alamos 20K, I don't know that we can make that guarantee.
Well, look, they already got thrown under the bus, and Alamos 20K is effectively kind of run out of the mainstream by now they're being prosecuted by the U.S. the UCOS government. So if you claim to be a member after 2064, then you are a wanted terrorist.
See, that's exactly what they want you to think, Easy, that they've been run out of town. That's exactly what they want you to
I'm
think.
falling for that political branch idealists right there. They got me.
The propaganda machine has worked once again.
Are they gone? Nobody really knows. I will agree that of all of the secret societies that we've talked about so far, this is definitely one of the only ones that successfully flies under the radar.
Yeah, for sure. And like has a plan and is kind of set for it. They're just waiting, you know? Like
Yeah.
it always seems like every other secret organization has like either illogical or irrational plans of like this is our way to take over control. And I will say, as much shit as we have talked this episode about the Black Lodge, they do probably have like the second best formation in terms of like dropping their representatives into politics and having, you know, the puppet master strings all over regarding their network. But in terms of like actual ability, it feels like these guys are probably at least a couple steps ahead still in every other regard.
I have to say that I feel like the reason that we have these shortcomings for these other shadowy secret organizations that we've talked about is because they've all been focused on world domination.
Right.
They want to take over the world, or they want to implement to where they're on the top of the world and controlling everything. The new revolution just wants the USA back. That's it.
Yeah.
Their
Yeah, man.
plan stops there.
Smaller scale is easier to achieve.
Right? Believe it, achieve it.
Exactly.
That's probably why they're more successful, is because they're not globally spanning.
Yeah. See, listen, this is why Doctor Doom is the most successful Marvel villain. He's
Oh,
like,
yeah, 100% agree.
world domination? Nah. I already have my own country, and I'm as good of a magician as the Sorcerer Supreme. I just want to do my stuff, and y'all can leave me alone and just let me be Doom. And it's like, you know what? For the most part, that's an agreed upon stance. I'll see you later.
Look, all I'm saying is that at one point he did win.
He definitely won the
Yes.
hardest at one point, for sure. Yggdrasil never looked so good.
Very true. That's for all the Marvel fans out
There
there.
you go. But that's the key. The key is global dominance. What do you want to do with the globe once you take it over too? Come on now. Set your ambitions into a more realistic scope. If you took over the planet, what would you do with it? What are you going to do with it at that point? What's the point?
Hey, that's a good question. Let's put that out to our listeners. If you were to accomplish world domination,
Yeah, what would be your first? Yeah,
what do you do
what's
next?
next on the docket?
Like, at that point, you just gotcha, I win.
The moon? Maybe.
There are planets out there to be colonized. I guess that's the next step. And then we end up with a whole situation of the Expanse. That's where we go to next.
I was gonna say we get into a Total Recall scenario, but the
You
Expanse
know
is
what?
also good. That's also good.
That's pretty close. It's one of those two
Yeah.
scenarios. And the original Total Recall is what we're talking about, where they go to Mars, not the.
Easy. Nobody's ever watched that. Nobody's ever watched the
I
remake of
just
Total Recall.
look,
Not one single human being has ever seen that movie.
I just had to put it out in case someone had a
No.
fever dream. Where they're like, wait, maybe I did watch that or didn't dream that it was awful. Just say, for those of us that have had that fever dream, we're talking about the one with Quato, okay? That's what we're talking about.
If you don't got a quado, I don't want it.
Oh, God. Anyway, I think that's gonna wrap it up for us for the evening with our secret organizations, adding yet another one to the long growing list of shadowy secret organizations in the
Crazy.
Sixth World. Who'd have thought, right? And
Crazy.
there's still more. I promise, there's still more
It's
out there.
almost like in a game system called Shadow Run that there would be a bunch of organizations that worked from the shadows. Who could have possibly seen that coming?
That is just crazy coincidence.
Crazy random happenstance.
I don't know how you could see it any other way. He
Unless.
says with heavy sarcasm. Well, I guess my final question for you, Austin, is do you support the new revolutionaries, or you just want to keep the status quo?
I don't know, man. To be honest, like, so okay, looking at this from a far view perspective, right? If the new revolutionaries' plan is to reform the United States, then does that mean that they want just the COS, the UCOS, and California Free State to be reintegrated, or they're also wanting to retake all of the NAN land as well?
The entire United States back the way it was.
Yeah, see, I just don't think that that's gonna happen, man. That's like a
Oh,
war.
it's
That's
a
like a
very
war
lofty
on.
goal.
That's a war on five fronts that you're not gonna win. Like, and then as soon as you go after the California Free State, then Japan's pissed at you as well. So,
Well,
like.
we'll get to that as well in the lore, but as a little bit of glimpse into the future for that, Japan by the 2070s has pulled support from Cal Free State.
Oh,
So
okay.
it's no longer an imperial state.
Yeah.
However, that being said, one entrenched General Saito does not go quietly into the night.
Yes, we've previously mentioned General Saito.
Yes, so that will be a topic for the future. So it leans towards the possibility that they could.
Yeah. I think based on everything that we've known about the way that the world is being operated as well within the Sixth World, I just don't see a possibility of how they pull it off. Because even if land masses aside in terms of the actual places that you need to take over, you're talking about then also going to war with the territoriality land owned by the megacorps. Because, like, what are they gonna do? Just skip the Seattle Metroplex? Like,
Well, I
no.
th so to play the devil's advocate in that situation, the way it works is you are going to run your political branch and your reconstructionist branch, and you're going to do a bunch of back alley deals to set up to guarantee extraterritoriality for some of these corporations and their holdings within the reformed United States.
I don't see that going well, you know?
Oh,
Like
I see it as constantly being a back and forth thing.
I just don't see.
If you want to bring the US back to the way that it was, one, it's too far gone to get it back to original. Like there's no way. The best you can hope for is to bring back most of the territory under your control, reunite the Kos and Yukos, and then any of the Nan territory that you do end up taking over, if I am in the New Revolutionist camp, then I'm ceding some of that land, and I mean like decent portions over it to the corporate sector, declaring it extraterritorial, and then letting them fight the border war to hold their new extraterritorial status.
I see. Make it their problem.
While I rebuild my power base in the newly reformed states and come up with a way to then keep them in check.
Yeah. No, that's fair. That's not a bad move. Then it keeps the two biggest players out of your hair while you're just doing all of your stuff in the background with each other.
Yes.
That's not a bad way to go about it. I just still think that the problem is that there's too many moving pieces to be able to account for every possibility to go in your favor.
Oh yeah, there's plenty that can go wrong or get messed up, so.
And probably will.
And probably will. That's why they haven't succeeded yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where we gotta leave it right there.
Yeah, I think I'm pro Sixth World as it is here. I don't think we need the United States back.
It works so far.
Yeah. Yeah, so far. Good enough. And you know what? I'll take it in the Sixth
I'll
World
take
at this point, man.
in the sixth world with everything that's going on, I'll take it good enough.
Yeah, good enough's a big W, the
Well,
Sixth World.
we'll see how you feel when we get to the rest of the East Coast and talk about New York and the state the Cal Free State and the megaplex of the what Federated District of Columbia.
I'm sure that nothing bad has ever happened in either of those locations.
Yeah, of course not.
No.
No. But we'll get to that in the future. Right now, you guys, let us know. Come and speak to us in our Discord. Give us your thoughts. Are you pro new revolutionists, or are you happy with the way the Sixth World is going? What would be your plot in taking over the continent of North America? And what would you do to hold that amount of land? Because that's a lot. It is a lot. If
Quite a
you
bit of
looked at it,
land.
it is. So thank you for hanging out with us. I hope you have gotten some juicy lore to use in your future games. And as always, you guys, we will catch you in the next one.
The Topps Company, Inc. has sole ownership of the names, logo, artwork, marks, photographs, sound, audio, video, and/or any proprietary materials used in connection with the game Shadowrun. The Topps Company, Inc. has granted permission to Critical Hits to use such names, logos, artwork, photographs, sound, audio, video, and/or any proprietary materials for promotional and informational purposes on its website, but does not endorse and is not affiliated with Critical Hits in any official capacity whatsoever.